When you think of someone going through a recovery program, what thoughts surface to the top? And if you've been through a recovery program, what do you wish others knew about your experience? In this two-part episode, Marianne and myself share our own experiences entering recovery for codependence through a faith-based recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. As we share our story, we hope you'll find helpful wisdom and support for your own journey or someone you know. While our experience takes place through a faith-based program, we respect and honor the different spiritual practices of our audience. Our goal is never to let our beliefs create division, but to share our experiences that you may find insight and resources that align with your own needs and goals. Thank you so much for being here, for your time, and for your support. We'll see you on the inside. Hey there, and welcome to the Filipino Momcast. My name is Lynn Tabangi, one of your co-hosts here on the show. So what exactly is the Filipino Momcast, you ask? Well, it's a small but mighty space in the podcast world that courageously opens up conversations around four moms living here in America and how they are deconstructing generational narratives while navigating life. We are your hosts of the show, Marianne, Rowan, Leilani, and myself, living in four different cities between three states, all with completely different upbringings and experiences, and 15 kids between the four of us. We talk about everything you talk about with a group of close friends so we can help other Filipinos and Filipino moms just like us. If you enjoy what we're talking about here on the podcast, we would absolutely love your support. The best ways to do that are by subscribing and keeping your notifications on, sharing the podcast or a favorite episode with another mom, Filipino or not, a tag on social media, and or an honest 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Also, any resources mentioned in the episode can be found in the podcast description. You can even find our contact information there as well. Thank you so much for the hard work that you do to show up for yourself, your family, our community, and the next generation. Please believe that you're more than enough because it's an incredible blessing to be on this journey with you. Now, with what you've been waiting for, let's get started on the episode.
Read the small group guidelines just so people understand why Lynn and I were like, yeah, this is great. So the five guidelines will ensure that your small group is a safe place, and they need to be read at the beginning of every meeting. Number one, keep your sharing focused on your own thoughts and feelings. Limit your sharing to 3 to 5 minutes. Only use I statements. There is no crosstalk. Crosstalk is when two individuals engage in conversation, excluding all others. Each person is free to express his or her feelings without interruption. We are here to support each other, not fix each other. Anonymity and confidentiality are basic requirements. What is shared in the group stays in the group. The only exception is when someone threatens to injure themselves or others. And the final one is offensive language has no place in a Christ-centered recovery group. And just like what Lynn said, the biggest thing for me that I appreciated is keep your sharing focused on your own thoughts and feelings and using I statements, and that we are here to support one another and not fix one another. I was already there to figure out what I needed to do for myself. I did not want to fix other people. I didn't have the capacity to do that. And the fact that I could say what I needed to say absolutely bawled my eyes out. I will confess that. I think the first month, maybe even 2 months, every time I came in, I cried and talked. For the 3 to 5 minutes that I was given, all I did was cry. And by the end of that, I'm exhausted. At our church, they call it Crosstalk Cafe. You can talk to people and exchange phone numbers or get an accountability partner and or find a sponsor. And the great thing is people are like, hey, you know, I really resonated with what you said and all of that stuff. And my mental health has significantly improved because of Celebrate Recovery. I am still in therapy. One of the things I've recently shared with everybody is, or a lot of my family, because my therapist has told me, is that I need to let people know that I'm starting EMDR, which is a pretty intensive trauma modality to kind of move through some traumatic experiences in my life.
Can you share what EMDR stands for?
Yes.
Eye movement.
So eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. So EMDR, so let's see. EMDR therapy involves attention to three time periods, the past, present, and future, and focus is given to past disturbing memories and related events. So I have not gone through EMDR yet. We're kind of in the very beginning stages of it. it, but with all of the things that I'm doing, and whenever I explain what I'm doing, people always wonder if I'm okay. And I'm generally okay. And days are hard, but at the same time, I'm doing the work because I deserve to do the work.
Yes.
And I am worth the work, and I'm worth feeling like the best of myself. So
I love that. I love that. It's so powerful. That is so powerful. Like, how does it feel to say that and to believe it?
To say it is still hard, but I also believe it wholeheartedly because I understand how broken I felt 100 days ago, right? Making really hard choices for my family and then going through an absolute shame spiral, and it was just bad. And I, to this day, I still have no idea how I even survived the first month because it was really rough. But what I've learned is that in order for me to be myself, not codependent Marianne, not like I'm going to be people pleaser everything. I'm going to do everything for you because I want you to love me. What I've learned that I want for myself is I want people to love the real me wholeheartedly and to know that person and to be like, wow, who is this person? Because like a lot of other people, like I walk around with a mask because I'm afraid that if other people see who the quote unquote real me is, I wouldn't think that they would like me.
Yeah.
I would say in the last 100 days, I think people have seen a lot more realness in me, and I feel a lot lighter, and I feel a lot more joy. I will not say happiness. I will say joy. And it's been hard, but the work is worth it. And the hardest part about this, and my therapist has said this to me multiple times, is in order for you to heal from anything, you must go through the feelings, which is terrifying. But once you go through it, you just feel like so much of a lighter person and closer to that real you that is really in there. Because like the craziness, the people pleasing, the codependency is not me. That's a coping skill. And I've learned that. I mean, there are a lot of things that are happening in my life that I'm absolutely seeing how I'm not being codependent in, and I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm gonna live my life because that's not something that I need to carry. I don't need to carry that, or I don't need to fix that. They don't need to be happy with me because they're uncomfortable with what I'm doing. I'm not required to make everybody happy around me at the expense of my comfortability and my happiness or my joy. Like, I can't live like that anymore. So
I'm so proud of you. That is so like heartwarming, and I'm so happy for you to be able to be in a space where you're able to articulate that. We can't articulate what we aren't able to wrap our minds around. For you to be able to articulate that, I can feel the weight being lifted off just in the way that you say that. And so I am 100% so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's so fun to get to witness.
Yes, I'm going to tell you the core people in my life who have helped me in the last 100 days, that one of those people is you. And I will just tell you, nobody brought me to Celebrate Recovery. I brought my butt there, and I'm leaving my butt there until minimally I finish my steps because I got to get these done, even if it sucks.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It totally sucks, but it's worth it because I'm worth the work. So I'm going to do it. And I think that was one of the main reasons why I brought up wanting to talk about Celebrate Recovery, because I wanted people to know that there are other options out there to begin any type of healing journey, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're afraid to go to therapy and we want to go somewhere. And I would say for anybody, even if you're not a Christ follower, even if you don't believe in Jesus, I would say go to Celebrate Recovery and see if the program is even just something that you would resonate with, because the principles and the steps work. They've worked for years, and I wholeheartedly endorse this program. It has literally saved my life twice. Like, this is the second time, obviously, I've gone back to Celebrate Recovery. And one of the things I said in the first couple meetings was, I'm not really sure why I left. And, you know, like, I probably won't leave. I have a feeling God is putting me here and having me do things and serve NCR, because this might be like my lifelong ministry. It's what it started to feel like. It feels like this is where I'm called, because I think Celebrate Recovery is vital to any church, because there are so many people suffering in silence and not wanting to admit it and or have no idea how to get help. And this is a, I'm not going to say easy entry point, because that's not even true. It's so hard to get from your house into your car and then into your car across the parking lot into church. If you can cross the parking lot and get into church and sit in a seat, you've already won. And that's truly how I feel about CR. And I hope for our listeners, whoever feels hopeless, scared, lost, shame, guilt, or whatever other negative feeling they have, I hope that they consider Celebrate Recovery, because it's been a godsend to me. And I know from your story, it's just helped you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs a space like that, you know? And I feel like that is exactly where my heart goes in everything that I do, is being able to provide that space, because part of the small group rules is no fixing.
Yep.
That in itself for me, it was like, oh shoot, no one's going to try to fix me. That felt like a relief for me.
Yep.
And it also helped me to feel relieved that I don't need to do that for anybody else either. I felt as if I received permission to allow people to be who they are. When I went to CR, one of the first things that I surrendered to was my marriage.
Mm.
And the husband that I have now.
Do you have a different husband before?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Different husband.
I only say that jokingly because what other husband did you have? Did I miss one?
Yeah, you don't remember?
No.
But I remember that day clearly, and it wasn't even during small group, it was just a connection that I had with God that I trust you and here you go. And it was that feeling like I literally took my hands off and I just said, you're going to do whatever you need to do. And it was one of the very, very first times that I am anxiety ridden to the bone. And I've been that way my entire life. So to allow someone for me to not control something, there's so much uncertainty in that. And that is what makes me anxious, especially when it comes to behaviors, like what they do. It's a combination of the social construct and everything that I've been conditioned to.
Yes.
And all of that stuff. But to let that go and not hold on to any of it has been one of the biggest gifts that I've received by showing up to CR. And, you know, that's not something that was taught to me. You know, it's not like they sat me down and said, hey, this is what you need to do. It was something that happened the way that it did. You know, I know that there were times where I would have to remind myself, don't forget, remember, you're not responsible for your husband. You're not responsible for the way that he says things, the way that he does things. And, you know, all of that stuff. And there were even times where I normally would have objected or said something very hurtful because I'm a fixer by default.
Something passive aggressive.
Something super passive aggressive. But I really want it to happen.
I mean, yes.
And I don't remember the exact situation that was going on, but I remember very vividly being able to take in that moment and completely emotionally disconnect myself and throw my hands up and be like, I don't have to do anything with that. And it was the most freeing experience that I've ever had, because I made that choice. I didn't do it out of habit. I didn't react out of habit. I wasn't passive aggressive out of habit. I decided in that moment to experience that was like, I love this feeling. Like, all I have to do is let go. If he, you know, when, and I think that's when anything happens, especially now, I'm like, nope, I'm not going to hold it. I don't want it. Like, don't get it near me. I don't want it.
Yep.
And I remember looking at the behaviors and just being, whoo, God, I can't wait to see how you redeem that one. I can't wait to see what you do with that, because it's not my responsibility.
Nope, it's not.
And it actively feels so good to not have to carry that. You keep using the word light, and that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, I feel light. I feel lighter, I will say, as somebody who has struggled with making sure that everybody is okay around me at the expense of my energy level, of my schedule, of my mental health. I know longer need to carry the weight of making sure everybody else around me is okay, because I'm not okay ever. I've been trying to think about, when was the time that I actually truly felt okay? I don't remember.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's bad. And I will say recently, especially with all the things that are going on in this transitionary space for Chris and I have let go of a lot of things. I'm like, well, that's not mine to carry, or that's not my responsibility, or I know what my responsibility is. and this is what my responsibility is, and everything else, not mine. And a lot of people around me have not liked that I say that. And they're like, what do you mean? And of course, you're supposed to make them do X, Y, and Z. And I was like, here's what I've learned. I can't make anybody do anything. So all I can do is say what my boundary is and understand that if there is a possibility for that boundary to be crossed, then I have to be ready to have consequences and execute whatever that is. And for me, that was the hardest part, is to execute what happens once a boundary is crossed, because lots of people are not happy after that. But the person who is happy and the person whose soul is quiet is mine. And that's what I've learned in all of this, is that if my soul feels quiet, and even if my mind has all the emotions, right, but my soul and my heart are like, huh, this is good, I know I'm doing the right thing. And that's how I've been navigating life. And one of the things that they say in Celebrate Recovery is one day at a time. If you can't live one day at a time, you live 1 hour at a time. If you can't live 1 hour at a time, live 1 minute at a time. If you can't do 1 minute, do 1 second. If you can't do 1 second, do 1 moment. And I will tell you, I have used that profusely in my life, especially in the last 4 months, because it's the only way I have survived. There have been many days where it's going to sound like, oh, off from Frozen 2, but what's the next right thing, right? And that's how I navigate life now. What's the next right thing to do? Well, we're going to do this. Is it going to suck? Probably, but it's the next right thing to do. And in Celebrate Recovery, that's one of the things you do, whether it's staying sober, whether it's not trying to fix people, whether it's not prioritizing yourself, any of the things that you feel like you need to do for yourself, you need to do the next right thing. And if you don't, reach out to your accountability team and to your sponsor. And those are people who can help you get back on the right track. And I will tell you, that is what's helped me get to where I am today. And I'm extremely grateful for this program, because it's a miracle that I am sane today. It's a miracle that I'm even able to share any type of positive experience today. It's not perfect, but it's a positive experience. It's a miracle. And I know that's not of my doing. And yeah, I'm thankful for anybody and everybody who's ever been to recovery, because, you know, they say like, oh, thank you for being here. My recovery depends on it. That's what they say. So if I greet that day or I say hi to somebody, I always say, thank you for being here. My recovery depends on it. And they look at me like, whoa, that's
like, different. Dang, that's so deep.
I don't even know you.
I know. It's my first day. Wow.
Right. But but think about it in the way of somebody who feels really broken and you hear, thank you for being here. My recovery depends on it. They'll be like, whoa, like I matter. Because for some people, they don't feel like they matter. They feel like worse than dirt. And if somebody were to say that to me and I was really low, I'd be like, wow, that means a lot. And then I would have a conversation with that person. And I think that that's an amazing thing that happens in Celebrate Recovery. And I do agree with you 100% that I wish the church was just like this, how Celebrate Recovery navigates relationships and how people show up. Because we totally show up looking whatever on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever day you go to worship. And when I go to Celebrate Recovery, you can wear my CR shirt. I'm usually in some type of yoga pants and I'm wearing Crocs and my hair is gross, but I'm there because the goal is to be there. And I'm there. So
Celebrate Recovery is the place where I can show up like I just woke up and I'm fine with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The person that I look like when I go into Celebrate Recovery is different than when I actually get ready. Because I know that when I am there, like you said, I just need to show up. And there's a lot of freedom. I discovered so much about myself, so much about my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus. And what I learned from there, I don't know how I would have learned that in any other capacity. Everything that I learned, that it was supposed to happen. Which is probably like when you were saying, my soul is quiet. And I think that's what I felt the night before, the morning of, and driving there when there was nothing going on.
Wow.
And that's why I knew that there's something in this, because I'm not activated at all.
I mean, if you're not activated, that's crazy, because I'm always activated.
I am. Look, Seriously, right? Like I am old because it would be one of those, I can't believe I'm doing this tomorrow. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I slept just fine and I wasn't sweating. I didn't feel anything in my stomach. The tell is when I feel it in my stomach and I feel it in my chest and I feel the ripple of anxiousness and nervousness and all of that. And I felt nothing. It still even hurt for me to say that actually happened because my body does not normally work like that.
Same. Oh, that's why I said anything that I have to go, like Bible study, any type of group thing that I have to go to, I am.
Oh, yeah, I feel it in my throat.
Late. And I know that the reason why God has said, hey, you're going to serve and get there an hour early. So I'm there. He has a sense of humor because I'm there. I sit and do, you know, whatever they need. I taught ladies how to make coffee, like grinding coffee, weighing out coffee, grinding coffee, putting it in the coffee maker. I taught people how to do that, which is a really funny thing for me to say because I make coffee in my espresso machine every morning. So to me, it's nothing. But to this group of four ladies, it is the most amazing thing. And in Celebrate Recovery, coffee is everything because it's late in the evening and people are just trying to get there and sometimes you're tired. And what I've learned is coffee was a big deal. And so the fact that I was able to teach somebody how to make coffee, they were just like, wow, thank you so much. And yeah, even now still they're like, did you make the coffee? I was like, I did not make the coffee. I've trained other people to make coffee. I'm now doing this. And they're like, oh, coffee's good. And I was like, oh, good. I'm glad coffee's good. So it's been a journey and I'm proud of me. I'm proud of you because what was the last chip you got? Is it the one that you just showed me?
What do I have here? I mean, I kept going because I didn't want to miss.
Right? That's the great thing about the tokens / chips, right?
Yeah.
You look at them and you remember where you were.
Yeah. So the last one that I have is my 18-month one.
That's crazy. And the 18-month one is... so
cool. It feels like a gold dollar.
Yeah.
Is what it feels like. Like it is legit like heavy. But yeah, this one means a lot. And I probably have other ones because it started to happen like during COVID.
Right.
And so I probably have some other ones that I need to go and pick up. I know no one can see this, but they look like poker chips, but they're not poker chips.
Yep.
Poker chips. And they're all colored to represent how many days you have been in recovery or whatever was on your heart to surrender. And this right here is a representation of, I've surrendered a lot of things, but the main one was not only me showing up, but giving God my marriage.
Yep.
And I'm really grateful to have had the experience that I did.
Yeah.
And I think I have a say in that too, because I wanted to have a good experience.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
I wanted to have a good experience. It's powerful and it meets you where you're at. I remember every worship song and just crying because of how relevant it was to what I was carrying at the moment.
Yep.
And yep, I cannot recommend it enough. And if it's not Celebrate Recovery, check out any recovery program that you feel speaks to you and see if you can find a community of people who can be a witness to your journey and for you to have that front row space of seeing that you really are not alone in everything that you go through. I mean, recovery is the space for struggle. And I don't think enough people know that. It's a starting point. It's not the one all be all. It's a starting point. And I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I finally was like, okay. And, you know, I'm glad that my body went on to autopilot and knew that it had to get me there.
I love it. I'm so happy for you that your body made that choice for you and that you followed through, right? Because if your body didn't do that, or I mean, you could even say like the Holy Spirit led you there and kept you in peace, that if it didn't, I don't know. I don't know where you would be, right? And that's what I think about often is like, I don't know where I would be if I didn't do all these things. It would be really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what really bad looks like, but it would be really bad.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. My life has changed because of what I learned in there. I mean, the biggest thing that I learned was just to surrender and trust.
Surrender and trust.
And to be able to not only do that for my husband, but to be able to do that for my kids and even for myself, to know that, no, I may not have all the answers. Yes, I want to control the situation, but I can't. To be able to surrender the situation when it is outside of my capacity. has created so much more freedom. And you know what? As much as I am a person who likes control, it actually gives me control, but in a more conscious way.
Yes.
Where I am deciding and I'm not reacting out of habit. I'm actually deciding consciously that I'm not going to hold this anymore, you know? And that's very different than just constantly being activated and reacting and creating more energy around something that I have no control over. I have no control over any situation, and situations usually involve other people.
I don't want to be with other people.
So yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore. There's so much work. I need to just hold my own, stay in my own lane, hold my own space. That in itself is already really, it's tough, you know? So yeah, it's taught me to let it be. And to be in a space where I can say that and have a sense of peace to my soul it's beautiful. If that's what self-actualization would feel like, then I would love for everybody to have that feeling.
Yeah. I would love for everybody to have the feeling of surrender.
Yeah. Like complete surrender.
Complete surrender.
Complete surrender.
There's so much freedom in complete surrender.
Yeah. Not like, okay, well, I'll give it. And then you go back and pick it up. Nope. I know what that's like all the time. This is a complete relinquishing of strongholds. This is like taking your chains and handing them over. Yep. And that's it.
Yep.
There is no like, oh, well, I'm undecided. Unconsciously undecided, you know, it's not that. Nope. It's a complete conscious surrender and an intentional act of I am going to continue to do that.
Yeah, it's a choice, really.
100%.
It's a choice to surrender consistently and to not hold it. My tendency is to surrender and then put it back. But lately, even if I have an inkling of wanting to quote unquote pick it up again, I'm like, nope, I've already surrendered it. I'm going to walk away, put it over there, and I'm going to leave it over there and I'm going to walk away. That's literally how I visualize that. It's like, nope. I'm just going to put it over there and I'm going to walk away and I'm going to trust that in God's timing, everything's going to work out. And that's really how I'm navigating life.
I love that. Yeah. And I'm so happy that you found that and that you are experiencing.
It's taken a while. I mean, the reason why Lynn is laughing is because I make a face. Guys, I'm still learning how not to make faces, okay? I'm just going to say that. To have the ability and the freedom to know what it means to surrender is a gift within itself. And yeah, everybody deserves that. Everybody deserves that. The environment that I currently cohabitate in with my children could not be what it is today if I did not surrender in Celebrate Recovery. I mean, I probably just surrendered my life, but I mean, in my head, I surrendered my marriage, but I truly just surrendered my entire, obviously there's so many things you surrender and all of that, but
absolutely.
I think I surrendered my life. And was like, here you go, God, even if he already has it, right? But I'm now officially giving permission, like, here you go.
Officially handing it over.
I'm just going to officially hand it over. Because the more I've held on to it, the worse it's gotten. And I will tell you, it's not been perfect, but I've felt so much freer. There's so much freedom that I have. And I can sleep better. And my soul is quiet.
I love that. What I'm hearing as the core of all this is that what we've experienced is freedom and a quieting of the soul. And I think that's so beautiful.
Yes, from the chaos to quieting of the soul is a big deal. And I think everybody deserves that. Mm. And everybody is not even deserving. Everybody is worthy of that.
Oh, 100%.
Celebrate Recovery is
fair.
And it's free. Just so you know, it's free.
Yeah.
You can donate money if you would like to, but it is free for you to show up and somebody will say welcome to you and somebody might even say I'm glad that you're here, my recovery depends on it.
I love that. It's so cute. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Is there anything else you feel like we should share?
Yeah. No, I mean, no, I think that's
so much. This is so good.
Oh my gosh. No, like that's so good. I love it. And I'm not actively in Celebrate Recovery right now.
That's okay. I think,
fine.
Yeah.
I don't feel there's no attachment to me in saying that. Like, I don't feel bad or anything. And I know that if I do need to be back in recovery, I know where I need to be. I had such a wonderful experience and I hope that paves a way for other people to at least become curious about other options that are available to them. Because
I'm going to tell you. Right now, people are just starting to feel the remnants of COVID and the isolation and the trauma that was. 2020 to now, I see it. People actually even talk about COVID in small group, and I'm just like, whoa, you know, and this is the beginning. So that's why I think talking about Celebrate Recovery is important, because it's free.
Maybe because it's been so emotionally charging the past couple of years. We've all been in some really big change. A lot of us, we've all been in the very same big change.
Collective trauma, collective uncomfortableness.
Yeah. And so, we wanted to share a resource to help give direction if you feel that that is something that you're being led to explore.
Yeah.
And just because it is worth exploring.
It's And just so you know, it's out there, because some people just don't know. And that's why I had asked Lynn if she would be open to sharing. And here's the thing, Lynn didn't tell me she was in Celebrate Recovery. I didn't tell her when I was in Celebrate Recovery. We didn't tell each other. I don't know how in passing we both figured out we were in Celebrate Recovery. You know, once we talked about it, I was like, do we have to share, because other people should do it.
Sometimes I would be up at the front doing the Beatitudes or opening up the group, and so I would have to share what I am in recovery for, and I would say that I'm really in recovery because of life, really. and I would say that because there's so many things that you can't sum it up into a word or two, but I'm in recovery because of codependency was the very big one for me. You know, to be able to surrender my marriage is a huge testament to relinquishing hold of codependency.
What they have to say is, I guess the verbiage that they say is, I am a Christ follower. I have freedom from all types of abuse. I am here for codependency, anger, resentment, and surrendering my marriage. And my name is Marianne. I'm thankful for Celebrate Recovery. All right. Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Thank you for sharing and being transparent and vulnerable. I know that the listeners will find so much value in this. And thank you for doing life with me. My recovery depends on it.
Good, because my recovery depends on you too.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Filipino Momcast. Don't forget to subscribe and to share this podcast with others, whether it's through social media, a text, or a quick shh. Hey, have you listened to these ladies? It's a small step in getting the conversation started and rippling that change into existence, which you play a huge part of. Thanks so much. We'll catch you on the next episode.